Boom.
Okay, so we're on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. We're up to the words V'chachomim Omrim. It's the third wide line, not the very wide line, the average length line. So, as we've seen, we have a machlokes in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir said that each party chooses one dayon, that was the maskana of the Gemara, and then the two of them choose a third one, and the Chachamim say that no, it's the two dayonim themselves who choose the third dayon. So have a look at the Gemara. The Chachamim Omrim. Nema b'derav Yehuda amarav kemiflegi. As we know, the word Nema means let us say or let us suggest, which invariably means that the Gemara will fall away from this eventually. So it's at the moment a suggestion. Nema, let us suggest b'derav Yehuda amarav kemiflegi. Let us suggest that this machlokes between Rav Meir and Chachamim is essentially the machlokes between Rav Yehuda Amarav. Rav Yehuda Amarav said the following statement, and it would seem to be that the machlokes Tanoim and the Mishnah, really they're debating this very point. The Omar Rav Yehuda Amarav, what did Rav Yehuda Amarav say? Ein ha'edim Chosmim al hashtar, Edim should never sign on a shtar, Elo im kain yoidin, unless they know mi chosim imohem. Unless they are fully aware of who is going to sign with them. So if somebody comes up to you and says, listen, you saw A, B, and C, and I need a legal document to testify that indeed it occurred, could you please sign this shtar? So Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, is suggesting you should not do so until you have found out who are the other Edim going to be. As we know, in ordinary circumstances, you would need two Edim. It may well be, for whatever reason, that they're going to have more than two Edim signing on this shtar. Either way, do not sign on it until you have been made aware who your fellow Edim will be. Why should that be the case? Let's have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Elo im kein yoidim. Mi choisem imohen. They should not sign unless they are aware who indeed is going to be the ones signing together with them. Why? Says Rashi, because shemo yachdmu imohen. Because maybe somebody will sign with them eid echod posel. Another eid who is posel. Umavatel Eidus kulam, and that will be mevatel all of the Eidus. What does that mean? That will be mevatel all the Eidus. So this is a principle that we have mentioned on other occasions. We have a rule, as we well know, not everybody is kosher to be an aid. So Rabbi Eliyahu David, Mitzvah Shem el Chuppah in a week's time, you have to choose very carefully who the Eidim are. Because if, for example, the Eidim are Kroivim, their relatives, well, then they're invalid. Not only...
Took care of that already.
Keep taking care. I would have suspected that. Not only is somebody, for example, who's a Korev, an invalid aid, but also he renders the entire group of Aidim possible. So if you have two Aidim and one of them happens to be possible, that automatically renders the entire Eidos as invalid. Even if, by the way, even if you have two perfectly kosher Eidim without this aid. So imagine, for example, you have three Eidim. Why would anybody require three? For whatever reason, three Eidim signed. It turns out that one of them is possible. So one may think that, okay, we'll eliminate him, but we have two left and two suffices. So here we have the principle that no, if one of them is possible, that is mevatel the entire group, the entire kat avos. It's for this reason, by the way, just in parenthesis, that some suggest, although it's not commonly accepted, for reasons that we have discussed in the past when we learned Masechtas Makris. Very often, almost always, imagine, for example, you have a chuppah, a kiddushin. So you appoint two Eidim, Reuven and Shimon. They're not relatives of the chosan, they're not relatives of the kala, they're not relatives of each other. They're perfectly kosher Eidim. Here comes the big question. One second, there's 100 people standing there watching this chuppah, including all the brothers, the fathers, the uncles, the cousins. 98% of people present there are possible Eidim. So what does it help that we've appointed two Eidim under the chuppah who are not related, but Lemaisa, with 100 Eidim testifying, they can see this chuppah. And if that's the case, then we have the principle of Nimtza Echad Korei Vaypasul, then the whole Kat Eidus is entirely possible. The answer is, this is the opinion of most Poskim, that no, the fact that all the relatives are there, that does not render the Eidim possible. Why? Because they have not been designated as Eidim. There's a very big difference between somebody who sees something as opposed to somebody who is testifying about it. That's why, in some occasions, you may hear this, although, as I mentioned, it's not the commonly accepted opinion. But I know when I got married 24 and a half years ago, there was somebody who took the microphone and he was invited officially to be, as it were, the MC under the chuppah. So his job is to call out Rabbi Ploini, first bracha, Rabbi Ploini, second bracha, the Eidim, here in Masada Kedushin. And he surprised me when he announced the following two people are Eidim, Mr. So and so and Mr. So and so, and then he added, and nobody else. And to be honest, I'd never heard anything like that before. But upon inquiry, it turns out that this was the basis for it. Because some suggest that if you don't add those words and nobody else, then yes, you've got two kosher Eidim, you've got another 300 people there watching the chuppah, who are basically all relatives. And they are automatically considered to be an aid, in which case, basically, you have a group of Eidim of 300 people, 298 of them are possible. So that's why he announced the following are the Eidim and nobody else. Now, why is that not the commonly accepted practice? And the proof is that probably none of us have ever heard of such a thing. Because most opinions hold, and this is the way we pass in our halacha, that the fact that you happen to see something does not render you a witness. So therefore, even though it's true, all the cousins and the uncles and the brothers are all there watching the chuppah, but they're not considered an aid. And therefore, even if you don't stress and nobody else, even if you don't say those words, as long as you say the following are the two Eidim, and that's enough. They're designated as Eidim. Everybody else who happens to see is not considered an aid, And therefore we have a kosher edus. So therefore, back to our subject, Rashi says, therefore, you should not sign a shtar unless you are fully aware who are the other edim. Why? As Rashi says, because shemo yachtumu imohem ed echad posel, because maybe an ed echad whose posel will sign the shtar together with them, umavatel edus kulam, and will be mevatel the entire edus, as we just explained, even if only one aid is possible, the whole group is cancelled. The nimtzu elu, and it will turn out that these two aidim who happen to be perfectly kosher, but their edus has now been cancelled, boishim, they will be embarrassed. Why will they be embarrassed? Because people will not know why the edus was cancelled. All they know is that Reuven and Shimon signed the shtar, and for some reason their edus was not accepted. The truth of the matter happens to be that they're perfectly kosher edim. And the only reason why their edus was not accepted is because Levi came along and he signed the shtar as well, and he happens to be posel. So as we mentioned, that ruins the whole edus. But people don't know that. So what will people say? Ah, Reuven and Shimon signed the shtar, and apparently their edus was not accepted. Well, it must be that they're psulim. By the way, what does it mean to be apostle? Not just a relative. Somebody, for example, who's a rasha, or has been over averas, and there's all discussion what type of averas, is also considered to be an aid apostle. So therefore, this could be highly embarrassing for Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are perfectly kosher edim. Their edus will end up not being accepted. Why? Because Levi joined forces, and he happens indeed to be apostle. That then ruined the entire edus, and now everybody goes home saying that Reuven and Shimon's edus was not accepted, and that'll start rumors. Well, it must be that they're non-kosher, and maybe they're Mechalal Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. And therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is not telling you a halachic principle, rather he's giving you an Eitzah. It's not a halachic principle, it's an Eitzah Tova. And he's telling you, listen, whenever you sign on the Shtar, don't sign unless you've been Mevarer, who are the other Eidim. Because otherwise you might end up being embarrassed. That's not an Issa. You're taking a calculated risk. Says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, I'm giving you an Eitzah. It's not worth signing before you found out who the other Edim are, because if not, an Ed Echad might sign, he'll be posel, your Edus will be rendered posel as well, and everybody's going to start circulating rumors about you that you are an Ed posel. Apparently you are Mechalal Shabbos. Yes.
I just wanted to go back for a second from before Chachamim Omrim, when you said that the two judges picked the third judge. Where is that in the Gemara where it says the two judges? Huh?
According to the first opinion, the two parties choose the first judge, third judge, and according to the Chachamim, the Shnei Dayonim choose the third judge. That was the Machloikas in the mission. Who chooses the third judge? As you remember, initially we understood that they're not choosing a judge, they're choosing a Bezdin, but we've fallen away from that. And in the final analysis, Reuven and Shimon both choose one judge. The question is now, and this is exactly what we're discussing, who chooses the third judge? According to the first opinion, it's the two parties. According to the second opinion, Chachamim, it's the two judges themselves. Now, we are trying to explain what is that machlekas all about. So the Gemara, now look back into the Gemara. On that fourth line, Neymar, let us suggest, but the Rabbi Yehuda Amarav komiflegi. Maybe the machlekas between the Chachamim and Rav Meir is actually really dependent on the above principle of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amarav ein ho edim chois min al ashtar. Edim should not sign on a shtar. Elo im kein yoidin, unless they know me chosim imohen. Unless they know who is signing with them. So like we said before, it's not a halachic principle. Rather, it is an eitzah toiva. It's a good piece of advice. If you want to sign without finding out, yes, you can do so. But Rav Yehuda Marav says you shouldn't do so. It's not recommended. You could end up being very embarrassed. That was Rav's principle. Okay. So what are we trying to suggest? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, less laid Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, the Rabbanon Isluhu Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Period. Wouldn't it be fair to suggest? Now everybody will work out immediately the jump that the Gemara has made. The machloikas in the Mishnah between Reb Meir and the Chachamim regarding who chooses that third judge. Is it the two parties, Reuben and Shimon, or is it the two judges? That machloikas is essentially based on do you or don't you hold of Rabbi Yehuda Marav's principle? Now, has anybody worked out what on earth has Rabbi Yehuda Marav's principle got to do with the Machlokes in the Mishnah? So have a look at Rashi.
Rabbi, can you just review the principle one more time?
The principle that Rabbi Yehuda Marav says is that two Edim should not sign a shtar until they are fully aware who else is signing with them. Because if they don't do that, then they may bring, somebody may bring another aid who turns out to be possible. That will then be mevatel the entire Eidos, and Reuven and Shimon go home very embarrassed. Everybody will say they testified and their testimony was not suggested, was not accepted.
So I can make the connection.
Right, what's the connection?
The first judges should not agree to be on the Bezdin until they know who the third judge is, because if the third judge is for some reason puzzled, then it's a bad name for them for the future, and they were part of a Bezdin that was puzzled.
Precisely. That's exactly the suggestion of the Gemara. But does everybody see the jump that the Gemara has made?
The jump that the Gemara makes is that if a third judge is puzzled, it puzzles the whole Beis Din.
Rav Yehuda Marav was not talking about judges. He was talking about Edim.
Right.
He didn't say, don't be a Dayan on a Beis Din until you found out who the other Dayanim were. Rather, he said, don't be an aid until you found out who the other aid is. But that's the jump the Gemara is saying for the moment. For the moment, we're assuming that the logic that applies to Eidos would apply to Dayanin as well. So presumably, if it's a valid suggestion, make sure you know who the other Eidim are, then so too, make sure you know who the other Dayanim are. In which case, come back to the Mishnah now. We have a Machloikas who is appointing the third Dayan. The first opinion in the Mishnah says it's Reuven and Shimon. The second opinion, that's the Chachamim, say no, it's the Dayanim themselves. Doesn't that sound like if the Chachamim say the Dayanim themselves should choose the Dayan, that sounds very much like Rav Yehuda Marav's principle. Just like Edim should be fully aware of who the other Ed is, so to the Dayanim should be fully aware who the other Dayan is. Well, how are they going to be fully aware? The answer is because they themselves are choosing him. Whereas the first opinion in the Mishnah that says that no, the Dayanim have no say in the matter. Rather, it's Reuven and Shimon who will choose the third Dayan. It would sound like that Reb Meir does not hold the Reb Yehuda Marav. So have a look at Rashi. V'rabbonon isluhu de Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbonon, that's the second opinion of the Mishnah. They seem indeed to hold of Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Hilkoch, therefore, Das hadayonin boinon. Therefore, the opinion of the dayonin we require sheyevaru, that they should be the ones to select mi yeshev imohem, who indeed will sit with them. Odom Hogun. We want to make sure that it's an Odom Hogun. What does an Odom Hogun mean? A kosher person. Hogun means valid. So it would sound like that's the Machlokes.
Rabbi, I think, Rabbi, may I?
Yes.
I think it's the exact opposite. In other words, if the two Dayanim know who the third guy is going to be, they don't have a problem signing on. They're picking him. The only question becomes is when the litigants are the ones that choose the first Dayanim, now they have a problem because they don't know who the third guy is. So now the litigant, two litigants are going to pick the third guy. So now I have a problem. I don't want to sign on yet. I don't know who you're going to pick. So that's in my opinion, that's the one that's more like the Ada situation.
One second. Who's choosing the third Dayan?
The litigants. If the litigants are choosing the third Dayan, and I'm one of the first two Dayanim, I don't want to sign on because I don't know who you're going to pick as the third guy. It's just like the Eidos.
Exactly.
But on the other situation, when the two Eidim, it doesn't compare to this at all. I already know I'm the guy. I'm picking the third guy. There's no chashash. I know who the guy is. So why would I be concerned about signing on? I'm picking the third guy.
That's exactly what the Gemara says. That's exactly what the Gemara says. So the first opinion in the Mishnah that says that it's the two litigants choosing the third Dayan, well, clearly that does not fit with Rav Yehuda's principle. Because if they're choosing the third Dayan, the first two Dayanim, when they agreed initially to sit on the Beis Din, they have no say and no knowledge of who the third Dayan's going to be. And yet it doesn't seem to be a problem. Whereas the Chachamim are saying, no, 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 no. The two Dayanim, they have to be the ones to choose the third Dayan. Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That fits in with the Yudha Marav, because they have to be the ones saying, listen, I'm only going to agree to sit on this Beis Din if I get the final say who's going to be the last Dayan. So have a look back in the Gemara.
Hello.
Are you in? Everybody just froze there. Everybody's back in? You're okay, everybody? Everyone froze. Or did I freeze?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, fine.
Everybody's fine. Okay. So look back into the Gemara. Rabbi Meir less laid Rabbi Yudon Marav. Rabbi Meir seems not to hold the Rabbi Yudon Marav, and that's why he's perfectly happy for the two litigants to be the ones choosing the third Dayan. The Rabbanon, however, is slew the Rabbi Yudon Marav. And the Rabbanon, however, seemed to hold the Rabbi Yudon Marav. And that's why they say, just like you've got to be careful with Edim, you've got to be careful with Dayanim. Now, remember we said before that if the Gemara begins with the word Neima, let us suggest, then you can be rest assured that the Gemara is going to backtrack. And that's what the Gemara does right now. Says the Gemara on the sixth line, Omarav loy, comma, you're wrong. De kula alma is lehu da Rav Yehuda Omarav. Everybody agrees to Rav Yehuda Marav's principle. There's no question about that. They are not debating whether Rav Yehuda Marav is right or not. That's not the shayla. Everybody holds. Everybody holds of Rav Yehuda Marav, meaning everybody holds of this Eitz HaToiva. And if you're going to be an aid, it's well worth checking up who the other aidim are going to be. Number one. Number two, v'das hadayonim, the opinions of the dayonim, kula alma lo'i pligi, everybody agrees, de bo'inom, that we do require, just like the Edim need to know who the other Edim are, so too the Dayanim need to know who the other Dayanim are. There's no debate about that. So what is the Machloikas? Iplegi, when are they arguing? Das Bale Dinim. Do you also need the opinion of the two litigants? Rabbi Meir Sovar, Das Bale Dinim, Nami, underline the word Nami Boinon. Rabbonon Sovri, Das Adayonim Boinon, Das Bale Dinim, Loi Boinon. So the Gemara is now telling us a tremendous chiddush. Once again, we have to reread the Mishnah. The simple reading of the Mishnah sounds like what? There's a machloikas. Who chooses the third dayan? Is it the two Balei Din, that's Reuven and Shimon, or is it the two Dayanim? The Gemara says that actually the incorrect reading of the Mishnah. Everybody holds that the two Dayanim have to have a say with regard to the last Dayan. So what's the machloikas? The machloikas is, in addition to them, do you also need the consensus of the Balei Dinim? So it's not either or. The question is it and? Everybody agrees that the two Dayanim should definitely have a say in who the third Dayan is. The Machlokes is only, in addition to the two Dayanim, what about the two litigants? Should they also be a part and parcel of that decision? So it turns out, therefore, we're not debating whether Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is correct. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is correct. Everybody agrees Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Don't sign unless you know who the other Edim are. And by extension, don't be a judge unless you know who the other judges are. Everybody agrees to that. And therefore, everybody agrees that the two Dayanim, the first two Dayanim, they will choose the third Dayan in accordance with the eighth of Reuven Marav. The Machlokes is only, do Reuven and Shimon, the two litigants, do they also have a say? Is their opinion also considered? So according to the first Mishnah, according to the first opinion in the Mishnah where it says that the two litigants choose the third Dayan, the way that we now have to translate that is the two litigants, in addition to the first two Dayanim, will also be a part of the decision to choose the third Dayan. Whereas the Chachamim say that no, the Chachamim say, who chooses the third Dayan? It is only the first two Dayanim. So everybody agrees that the first two Dayanim are a part of the decision. The question is only, do you also consider the opinion of the two litigants? Yes.
Well, according to this thinking, if I'm the first Dayan, why shouldn't I have a say in who the second Dayan is?
But that we explained yesterday. Because the only way that this din is going to end up being emes la'amitoi is that every one of the parties can choose a dayan.
So you're fine, right. But that's my point. But according to this, when they both do it, right?
I mean, why couldn't we have both opinions taken into consideration, even with regard to the first two dayanim as well?
Exactly.
Okay, fair question. Fair question. Maybe we'll have to see an hamshach of the gemara. But our koponim, in the final analysis, it turns out there.
No, not for the first two dayanim, only the second one. Because before you pick the first one, you don't have any. But once you pick the first dayan, why isn't it that the dayan and the litigant pick the second?
Fair question. So in the final analysis, it turns out everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Everybody holds the dayanim before they give their final consent to be the judge. They should make sure they know who the other dayan is. The Machlokes is only, in addition, not instead of, but in addition to them, must you also take the opinion of the two litigants into consideration? So ultimately, who's choosing the third Dayan? Is it the first two Dayanim plus the two litigants, or is it just the first two Dayanim? Okay, we have to stop over here. Mr. Shem will carry on tomorrow.
Inshallah.
Okay, have a good day, everybody. Call to.